Case number 20-6414, SJ Consulting Group, Inc. v. Ford Air, Inc. Oral argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Contul for the appellant when ready.
Good morning. May it please the court, Justin Contul for the appellant, Forward Air. With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Forward Air moved for summary judgment in the district court because the language of the extensions to the party's professional services contract and the party's post-contract termination course of performance clearly establish that the contract ended on January 31st, 2013. The trial court disagreed and denied Forward Air's motion. And although SJ Consulting argued in opposition that there was a fact issue as to whether the contract terminated on January 31st, 2013 at the end of the extensions, the trial court went beyond what the parties argued and ruled as a matter of law that the contract clearly and unambiguously did not terminate at the January 31st, 2013 expiration. That ruling is contrary to Pennsylvania's well-established principles of contract interpretation and should be reversed with judgment entered for Forward Air.
You say that Pennsylvania's well-established principles of contract interpretation. Was that argued before the district court? It seemed like both parties just assumed the Tennessee law applied.
There is, in our reply brief in the trial court, we did note that Pennsylvania law was chosen in the contract and that that applied to substantive issues under the contract.
Okay. Did you, which Pennsylvania case are you relying on now?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, for which proposition?
The well-established principles of contract interpretation.
The ones we cite throughout our brief about the contract, that all the provisions of the contract have to be taken as they are. Are you asking what case I'm citing for why it applies here?
Well, I am. Are you talking about course of performance now, or are you talking about rendering a provision ineffective?
Well, I was talking about both of them. Both of them, Pennsylvania law would apply to both.
Okay, so talking about course of performance, was that argued before the district court?
We did raise issues related to course of performance, such as the fact that there were invoices submitted after the contract terminated. And also we talked about when an invoice for payment related to the work.
What about the legal issue? I mean, the judge made a legal determination, not ambiguous, therefore four corners, no extrinsic evidence. That's a legal sort of determination. Was that addressed in the district court? Did you make any argument that, look, not just this was a course of performance, but this is relevant, you have to consider this?
I believe we did, Your Honor. We submitted that evidence in the declaration of Matthew Jewell that was submitted with the motion for summary judgment.
It's a legal question whether that's even something the court can consider. Did you engage in that? Was that a subject of discussion?
Your Honor, it was not specifically, because SJ Consulting didn't even argue that the contract was clear on its face. We were arguing that the contract was clear on its face, and SJ Consulting argued that there was a fact issue as to whether or not the contract terminated on January 31st, 2013 at the expiration of the second extension. And so the court went beyond what any of the parties argued and ruled that the contract was clear on its face, and it clearly and unambiguously did not terminate. And because the court made that ruling, there was evidence that Forward Air ultimately would not be able to submit to the court related to what the contract meant.
So even though the court ruled that the contract was clear on its face, does Pennsylvania law allow for the consideration of extrinsic evidence in this case, and I understand that the district court is saying no need because it's clear, but assuming a scenario where it's not clear, does Pennsylvania law allow consideration of extrinsic evidence?
Yes, Your Honor. Pennsylvania law allows for consideration of extrinsic evidence as to course of performance that is after the contract is entered into. So it's post-contract, the entry of the contract. And that's the Atlantic Richfield case, Your Honor.
That line of cases permits that post-contract evidence even if it's clear, even if it's unambiguous, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. As a matter of fact, the court said it's perhaps the strongest indication of what a contract means.
Did you bring a motion for rehearing, reconsideration?
We did not, Your Honor. At that point, the parties got together. They agreed that the most efficient way to handle the case would be for the stipulation or the entry of the judgment. And because there was no additional evidence to be submitted at that point, the additional evidence that Forward Air would put forward was about what the contract meant, and that was foreclosed by the court's opinion. The court only said that there would be a fact.
It was foreclosed, but there's a principle of law lurking here that was never presented to the district court, that you're arguing on appeal, but it was never presented to the district court.
Your Honor, I believe we did submit the post-contract course of performance facts to the court, and we did argue that those showed that the contract had terminated.
But that's a factual argument, and the court was under the impression that if there was no ambiguity, that was inadmissible. And the response to that is no, under Pennsylvania law, there's a line of cases that says it is admissible. That was never presented to the district court, right?
I wouldn't say it was never presented. I would say that the certain case law that was cited in our appellate briefing was not presented to the court in the initial briefing. But again, that's because the primary argument that was made with the district court was that the contract was clear on its face that it terminated. And then we offered additional evidence, post-contract course of performance evidence, to show that why it was clear on its face. The SJ Consulting argued that there was a fact issue. So that issue that was really not necessary to go that extra step at the time, but we did make the argument that the course of performance was relevant and should be taken into consideration by the court.
So ordinarily, this is what I'm trying to struggle with in this case. So ordinarily when a district court denies summary judgment and says the reason I'm doing this is because I think there are genuine issues of material fact here, so I'm denying your motion for summary judgment. Ordinarily, we would say that case keeps going. We don't have jurisdiction to review this. So I'm struggling with why it is you didn't just get the court to put on an order that said the contract, let me back up. When the court said the contract didn't terminate, that meant that there's a lot more to do here. So y'all put on an order not just saying the court found that the contract terminated, so we will stipulate to a judgment that the contract terminated. The contract did not terminate. We'll stipulate to a judgment that the contract did not terminate, and we're asking the court to dismiss this case so that we can get it to appeal. Instead, you put on a whole judgment which you don't agree to, except in form. The other side agrees to in substance. And I guess I'm kind of worrying about if that's okay to get a denial of summary judgment because there are genuine issues of fact, according to the court, if that's okay to get it before us on appeal, why isn't that going to be true for virtually any summary judgment which is denied because there are genuine issues of fact remaining?
Yes, Your Honor, I can understand why you'd be concerned about that.
Good, because I really seriously am. I'd be interested to hear you explain this.
What happened in this case was the trial court, Judge Corker, held that the contract clearly and unambiguously did not terminate on January 31st, 2013. He said in his opinion that there might be a fact issue as to whether or not it terminated at some point after that. The parties had no arguments to make about the contract terminating, or at least Forward Air had no arguments to make about the contract terminating after January 31st, 2013. Any arguments that would have been made were foreclosed because they were about what the contract meant and to show why it terminated on January 31st, 2013. So at that point, there was nothing left to be done in the litigation. Any discovery that would have been taken, any arguments that would have been made, were foreclosed by the court's opinion that the contract did not terminate clearly and unambiguously. Now, the Sixth Circuit has recognized that it is acceptable to do what we did here, and that is to agree to a judgment in form, and then...
Why was this a judgment in form? This is a judgment that sets out all the damages as to which... So you're saying that there's absolutely no genuine issue of fact remaining with regard to damages if, in fact, the contract didn't terminate?
That's right, Your Honor, because the success fee is based on a formula in the contract. It's a numeric formula. It's just the purchase price times a percentage. So it's just a calculation. So there was nothing else left. And the Sixth Circuit has said that where the first line of stipulations indicated that they were being entered into for the purpose of expediting appeal, the previous orders and judgments in this case, that they are acceptable. That's the Sixth Circuit's decision in Innovation Ventures versus Custom Nutrition Labs. And there also the Raceway Properties versus Emprise case from the Sixth Circuit also adopts that standard.
Did the court grant summary judgment to the plaintiff on that issue?
No, the plaintiff did not move for summary judgment, only Forward Air moved for summary judgment. So the court went beyond anything that was argued by the parties and ruled something that wasn't argued,
but
essentially.
That's what I'm asking. Did the court say, I deny your motion for summary judgment on the issue that the contract had terminated, and I am granting judgment to the plaintiff that it affirmatively did not terminate?
Your Honor, I'm out of time. May I answer your question? The court effectively did that. But because Forward Air had nothing, the court did not explicitly say that they were granting summary judgment for SJ Consulting. But the court's ruling effectively did that because the court ruled that the contract clearly and unambiguously did not terminate, and there was no other evidence for Forward Air to submit at that point. Thank you, Your Honors.
Good morning. My name is Jenny Miller. I'm a member of the Tennessee Bar. It's my honor to appear on behalf of SJ Consulting Group to argue that District Judge Corker got it right. This court has already noted that when Forward Air filed their motion for summary judgment, they argued Tennessee law. Admittedly, the plaintiff, in responding to the motion for summary judgment, also argued Tennessee law. But Judge Corker got it right. He applied Pennsylvania law because that's what the contract said. And Judge Corker also, and maybe I can kind of clear up how we got to where we are. The defendant filed a motion for summary judgment saying that the contract was clear and unambiguous and that it had terminated. And Judge Corker agreed that the language in the contract was clear and unambiguous. Two things that are not in dispute. Three things, I guess. Number one, the contract had at paragraph 11 the duration. And the initial contract was for a six-month period. But it had an automatic renewal, an evergreen provision, if you will. And either party desiring to terminate the contract had to give 30 days notice, written notice. So instead, there was a document that the parties executed that is called a contract extension. It's a one-page document, and I'm sure you have it there in front of you. It's brief. It extends the term for 6 months. It changes the fees. There were three components, and it permits for additional retainer payments. But it left in place the other two components, which was a $3,000 per diem and a success fee. And then they got to the end of that six-month period, and there was a second extension. And again, it's a short document. And I should have said first, that first agreement, that first extension, very clearly, in a paragraph by itself in bold print, said all other terms, conditions, provisions of the original contract remain in full force and effect. So there's the first one, and then there's the second one. And the second one, again, calls it a contract extension with the very same language, except this time it's a year. And this time, instead of the payments being made like four times in a six-month period, they're made every month. It's a $12,000 monthly retainer fee. But it contained that same language that all other terms, provisions, conditions remain in full force and effect. So the defendant files the motion for summary judgment and says that the contract terminated. And Judge Corker held that to terminate required a written agreement.
So would this contract have gone on indefinitely?
Well, if in fact SJ Consulting had brought to, it was very easy. All you had to do was send a short letter terminating it, and they never did that. But there is no claim for any additional, this is the only success fee that has been sought.
Would this contract have continued indefinitely?
I don't know any reason that it would not have. There's no language that said it would have. And in the instance of this, and so what Judge Corker did to kind of help you understand, there's no question that a written termination is required. Judge Corker held that those two extensions did not serve to terminate the contract. He held that they likewise were clear and unambiguous, and so they did not terminate the contract. So here we are, going to trial, and what's left would be for Forward Air to present evidence that they had sent a written notice of termination. Forward Air did not have that evidence. There were no writings. And that is the reason, because, and you know, I'm grateful that they took that position. So there's no dispute that there's no writing that terminated the contract.
I want to back up and go back to the point you were just making in response to Judge White's question.
Okay.
So it seems that like there is some superfluousness, if you will, on the face of the contract. You know, the fee section provides that everything remains unchanged except the dates of the retainer payments. But it also says that all, quote, all other terms, conditions, and provisions, end quote, of the original contract remain in full force and effect. So what was the point of the remains unchanged except language in the fees section if there was already this general preservation clause at the end? I guess on the contract construction, you should give effect to every portion of the contract. Explain that.
Okay. So it is our position that that language is clarifying language, and it was there to prevent the very issue that we hear about today. You know, it was to ensure that Mr. Jindal and his company, SJ Consulting, preserve their rights for the success fee and for the per diem if there was a closing. And so, you know, what the judge, so we say that that was to clarify that we're only talking about the retainer payment. That's what the fees section and that language was to emphasize. It was just as to the retainer fee, but everything else stayed in place. And you know what, the parties...
Couldn't you make the same argument about the term? Mm-hmm.
So here's what I would say about the term. During the term, the parties cannot... if you look at the original contract, you go back to the language, they cannot terminate during that term. And so that term then begins the automatic 3-month renewal. So there was that is important because during that time, the Forward Air could not send written notice of termination. So that's the meaning of that provision. And I say this respectfully, but it is my sense that that the rules of contract interpretation and construction are to aid in the understanding, and it seems to me that a very hyper-technical, can't have any words that are superfluous, but on the other, and we say they're not superfluous, we say they're clarifying, it just seems like the very rules are being applied to prevent the one thing that was intended here, and that was that the success fee stayed in place. You ask about the course of
contract. Stay in place.
Well,
stay
that
in place until the end of the contract.
That's right.
The issue isn't the success fee; it's when and if the contract ended.
That's right. 1 year. You're exactly right. 1 year from the date it terminated. And so the question, the dispute is, where's the writing that terminated the contract? Forward Air.
It's not the dispute. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is whether that provision requiring the writing survived the addendums.
And we say it did, or there is no meaning in the paragraph right above the signature lines that says all other terms, conditions, and provisions remain in full force and effect.
Or the other reading and that they want to say is that applied to the other provisions, all those other provisions that aren't addressed, that don't address the term or the fees, and all those other provisions.
And the plaintiff would submit that the word termination does not appear in the extensions. The extensions are extensions, and it would have been very easy to say, and this contract terminates on January 31, 2013.
I want to ask you a different question. The premise for, I think, awarding effectively, well, the judge made the decision. I'm a little confused. Did the judge make the decision
these contracts did, these extensions did not terminate the contract.
He did.
That's all he decided.
He said that the original contract was clear and unambiguous, so he agreed with Forward Air on that point. And he believed that their issue was, did the terminations serve, or excuse me, the extensions serve to terminate the contract. And he held, I think maybe page 17 of his decision, that the extensions were likewise clear and unambiguous, and they did not terminate the original contract. And so we would have gone to trial for Forward Air to say, here's where we terminated it.
Okay.
And they,
so, from a legal standpoint, defendant was trying to introduce evidence of the course of dealing following the extensions. Right? Okay. And the court determined that it was not going to admit that evidence because it felt that the contract was unambiguous, that the extension was unambiguous. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Defendant has provided Pennsylvania law that says that course of dealing is always relevant.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
That course of dealing is always relevant.
Oh, okay.
And that it is admissible without regard to whether the contract is ambiguous. So I'd like to know what your response is to that.
Okay. I really have a good response, but based on your question to him, I wasn't going to talk about course of performance. So here's the course of performance that indicates that the parties, in fact, believed that there was still a contract in place.
I'm asking a different question.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Your evidence would be relevant if there were a trial that included evidence of course of performance. I'm asking the simple question about whether the court should have permitted the defendant to show a contrary course of performance as evidence to be considered in interpreting the extension.
So the court really was not asked to do that. The court issued their ruling denying the motion for summary judgment. The parties had, you know, scheduled depositions, exchanged discovery, and last October, and I only remember it was October because I was on vacation, Forward Air reached out and proposed that we skip the depositions and that an order be entered so that the case could go to appeal. So because, and if I can finish just a second, because they did not have any evidence that the contract had terminated, that there was written termination. So there was never a request of Judge Corker to let the parties present their different views.
Just said it differently, and I thought I heard Judge White ask, would it have been appropriate to consider extrinsic evidence in determining the question of the contract end date, or whether it ended? Would it have been appropriate?
So I think that essentially that inquiry became unnecessary when the court found that the language was clear and unambiguous and that it required a written notice of termination.
So absent that, if a different mind had felt that it was not clear, would it have been permissible to look to extrinsic evidence to answer that question?
I think that if you were, I guess the short answer is, in this case, no. I think what the intent of the parties.
Pennsylvania law didn't allow that? Is that the basis of the no?
I think that the Pennsylvania law uses the restatement, and it talks about how, in determining the intent of the parties. I think that on balance, well, you don't care about the facts. I mean, I don't mean you don't care, but that's not really your question. So let me stay away from that. But I think that when you can read a document, even under Pennsylvania law, and it's clear what it means, and there's a determination. I mean, we as lawyers, the law is sort of what the judge says it is. It is unambiguous. Then the performance or not is not a relevant inquiry.
All right, I know your time is up, but I just want to ask you one other question that I've been thinking about as you've been saying this. You know, contracts have their terms and their end dates, and let's assume a hypothetical that really relates to the facts of this case. So you've got this contract. It says that there needs to be a written termination. Let's assume that the parties have gone along and the object of the contract has been accomplished.
Okay.
Both parties agree that the object of the contract has been accomplished. It is done. Are you saying that even under a circumstance like that, that in order to satisfy the contract, somebody has to send a writing and say, the contract is now terminated because we're done?
Well,
or did it only contemplate if one side elected not to do something more, then we have the right to say it's ended?
That's right. I mean, the plaintiff, SJ Consulting, after they had this, the refusal to pay, has not done additional work since the refusal to pay. So, from a practical, you're right. I mean, if he's not bringing potential acquisitions, and you're right. He is not obligated. I mean, again, that whole forever or always or.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, I understood Judge Donald's question to be that the contract would not continue.
Well, are you saying that the course of performance could show that it was abandoned or what?
I think that the parties continued to have contact until such time as the plaintiff learned that the defendant was not going to honor the contract.
I think the question was, more in the abstract. Does this just continue?
And I was trying to, maybe I did a poor job, but I was trying to answer that, as it relates to why we're here, there was no further relationship between these two entities. And so if the plaintiff is not bringing acquisition, you're right, if they're not performing.
But what about that? What about that would signal an end to the contract? Because now you're talking about the course of performance.
Well, I thought this was a question in the abstract, but, the truth of the matter is that SJ Consulting did perform, and they performed very well. They brought this company at a price that, 25, $30 million less, so they did perform.
Any other questions?
No.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Again, it is not often. I've been a lawyer 39 years. I think this is only my third time here. So I welcome you and to be on the prevailing side, at least at this point. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, we discussed the course of performance, and we believe that should have been considered under Pennsylvania law. It was required, and that evidence was submitted to Judge Corker.
Dependent on a finding of ambiguity in the contract?
It does not depend on that.
So if it doesn't, how do you interpret the Insurance Adjustment Bureau versus Allstate case?
I'm sorry.
That's the case in which the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and I think it was in 2006, said that the fundamental rule is you look for the intent. In the case of a written contract, the intent is the writing itself. And unless there's ambiguity in the writing, you don't look beyond it. But if there is ambiguity in the writing, then you can. So my question is it your position dependent upon a finding of ambiguity, which, of course, the district court didn't find?
We don't believe it is, Your Honor, for the authorities that we cited, that it should be considered.
This case is after Richfield, for sure.
Yes, Your Honor, but even if you don't consider course of performance, our arguments about what the writings mean and that they showed that the contract terminated, that's a good enough reason for there to find ambiguity. Because under Pennsylvania law, all that's required for ambiguity is that the contract is reasonably susceptible to different constructions.
That it was clear and unambiguous.
We did, Your Honor.
And it was clear and unambiguous under Pennsylvania law from the Supreme Court that I just cited. How do you justify bringing in course of performance? Well, you're trying to have it both ways, aren't you?
Well, I don't think we are, Your Honor. I think we're saying it's clear and unambiguous based on the language. They're saying, SJ's saying it's clear and unambiguous based on the language.
Saying, so it's clear and unambiguous, so let us show you what the course of performance really was to clear up any ambiguities here.
We were showing that as additional evidence for the meaning that we put forth. And now both sides believe it's that the contract is clear and unambiguous on its face.
So that'd be a pretty good argument, I suppose, that if each of you think it's clear and unambiguous, but you think that you're on opposite sides of what it means, maybe there's an ambiguity.
That's right, Your Honor. And that's why, at the very least, we think that this should go back, because the contract, at the very least, is ambiguous. And there should be further proceedings about what the language means for all the reasons that Judge White touched on.
But you asked for summary judgment.
We did, because
it was denied. And I'm still trying to figure out how we get to review that.
Well, Your Honor, Ms. Miller, I believe, expressed that there was nothing else. She agreed there was nothing else to be done in the court. And it's not a disincentive. I provided the law, the Innovation Ventures case, that says the approach that we took here is acceptable under Sixth Circuit law. And there's not an incentive to try to short-circuit that, because if there are arguments left, then a party is not going to wave the white flag. The party is going to continue to make those arguments that they have. There just weren't any other arguments here under the circumstances.
Well, then I guess I'm a little concerned about the fact that the stipulated judgment that you put on in order to get yourselves here and get around the rule that a judgment denying summary judgment is not appealable, the judgment that you agreed to and put on said, from your perspective, we agree with the form, but we don't agree with the substance of this judgment.
And Your Honor, I'm out of time.
Please.
And that's what the case law says is acceptable, and that's what should be done, and that you should reserve your rights to appeal the decision in the judgment, but agree to it as to form, and that's the Innovation Ventures case that we cited. That says that's exactly what you should do, is agree to the judgment as to form only.
And this course of performance evidence that you wanted to introduce, the purpose was to shed light on the meaning of the extension, or to show that the parties regarded it or gave a different meaning to it through their conduct?
It's confirmatory of what we believe is a clear and unambiguous contract that terminated on January 31st, 2013. The course of performance evidence shows that the parties viewed the contract as terminated.
Any other questions?
None.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All of you, the case will be submitted. Did you folks ever go to our mediation office?
I'm sorry.
Do you know?
I didn't hear what you said.
Did you ever go to our mediation office?
I think that we did, yes. Yes.
Would it do any good to go back, do you think, after argument?
We always think it would be worthwhile.
Right? I'm sorry, what?
We always think it would be worthwhile.
Yes.
In that event, we will be happy to contact them on your behalf.
Yeah, I mean, expect a call. It would seem that maybe discussions would be useful. I don't know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
This honorable court is now adjourned.